Morning, everyone. Morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be here and say welcome to everyone. Leadership Magazine carried a story about four young men, Bible college students, who were renting a house together. One Saturday morning, someone knocked on their door, and when they opened it, there stood this bedraggled-looking old man. His eyes were kind of marbleized, and he had a silvery stub of whiskers on his face. His clothes were ragged and torn. His shoes didn't match. In fact, they were both for the same foot. And he carried a wicker basket full of unappealing vegetables that he was trying to sell. The boys felt sorry for him and bought some of the vegetables just to help him out. Then he went on his way. But from that time on, every Saturday, he appeared at their door with his basket of vegetables. As the boys got to know him a little better, they began inviting him in to visit a while before continuing on his rounds. They soon discovered that his eyes looked marbleized, not because of drugs or alcohol, but because of cataracts. They learned that he lived just down the street in an old shack. They also found out that he could play their harmonica and that he loved to play Christian hymns, that he really loved God. So every Saturday, they would invite him in, and he would play his harmonica, and they would sing Christian hymns together. They became good friends, and the boys began trying to figure out ways to help him. They finally collected a bunch of clothes and secretly left it all on his doorstep, no note attached or anything. The following Saturday morning, the story says, right in the middle of all their singing and praising, he suddenly said to them, "God is so good." And they all agreed, "Yes, God is so good." He went on, "You know why he is so good?" They asked, "Why?" And he said, "Because yesterday, when I got up and opened my door, there were boxes full of clothes and shoes and coats and gloves. Yes, God is so good." And the boys smiled at each other and chimed in, "Yes, God is so good." He went on, "You know why he is so good?" They answered, "You already told us why. What more?" He said, "Because I finally found a family who could use those things, and I gave them all away." How about us? Are we willing to share even those things we have need of, maybe, that somebody needs more desperately? And that is my topic today, is a giving heart. I'd like to read from an account in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 where Paul talks about giving. You can turn there. I'll also have it up here for this scripture, but we'll be referring back to here at times. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. "There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that are boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So I'd like to talk today. I have three areas I've divided this up into. First of all, I'd like to talk some about commands and examples we find in the Bible of giving. And next, we will talk about attitudes and motives of giving. And lastly, we're going to look at a few of the blessings of giving. First of all, commands and examples. We see here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. People who profess Jesus also obey Jesus. Otherwise, it's hypocritical to only profess it. James 2, 17 to 20, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And so it makes a lot of sense to me in that. And like the thief on the cross that died in his last hour accepted Jesus, he may not have had any works. But that's also understandable. In Matthew 19, we read of a rich young man who came to Jesus and asked what he must do to be saved. And he said, obey the commandments. And he gave him some examples of the old commandments, some of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. And the rich young man said, I've done all that from my youth. And he said, go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus knew what that man's heart was like. And so I'm not proposing that we sell everything and give to the poor either. We need to have love, as in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, it says that if we give without love in our heart, there is no profit. It doesn't avail or do much good. In Mark 14, we read of a woman that had an alabaster box of a box of very expensive ointment and stuff. And they accused her of not selling what she had, and giving that money could have been used for the poor. Jesus said she has done a good thing. And that in Mark 14:7, for ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do good to them. But me ye have not always. So there is a balance. We don't all need to sell everything, and sitting at the feet of Jesus is most important. Worship is vital. Giving is merely a fruit. We need to remember that and keep that right perspective. Without us being connected to the vine, there is no life. There is no fruit coming out of us. Another command found in the Bible in John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I have said this often, compassion without action is merely observation. That's right. Compassion without action is merely observing. Jesus also instructs us in Luke 14, 13 to 14, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Invite those that you can't repay. Reach out to others. Elijah came to the widow's house. It was very dry. And she was gathering a couple sticks to bake her last loaf of bread. And yet she shared with Elijah, and every day God provided enough flour and oil to cook yet another loaf of bread. Share what you have. Another command in Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A giving heart has kingdom principles and eternal values in mind. A giving heart looks out for others. This is a totally different mindset than the world has of hoarding for ourselves, but we look for to help others. I'd like if we could turn to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read a parable Jesus shares there. He talks about separating the sheep from the goats in Matthew 25. I'm going to read verse 31 to the end. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or a thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? They didn't even realize they had done it. They weren't keeping score. It was a natural fruit because they were connected to the vine. Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We even read in another place that if we give a cup of cold water to a child, it will not be forgotten. God notices. Verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Giving is a big deal to God. Eternity hangs in the balance. There's many, many scriptures of giving. I'd like to talk to next about our motives and attitudes of giving. The first one being, we need to give cheerfully, and that was found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, where it says, Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't give because you feel obligated. Don't be forced to it. Give because you want. God smiles when you give freely and cheerfully. The message version of this verse says, God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Next, we need to give generously, and that was also found in 2 Corinthians 9. I'm going to refer here to Luke 6:38, where it says, Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And in 2 Corinthians 9, it says that if we give generously, we will receive generously. It'll come back to us. In my study, I found this headline. Wealth can make us selfish and stingy. Two psychologists explain why, and they observe that those with fewer resources are more apt to stop and help change a tire. Those that, whereas the rich and elite, they are more self-dependent and look at their own resources and abilities to help them. So it's a matter of interdependence versus independence. And that is what God wants us to be. He wants us to nurture relationships and to be interdependent. He wants us to reach out and help. So if we don't want to be in the stuffy and stingy aroma of the rich, then we need to share generously. Next, we need to give privately. And this is taken from Matthew 6, 3 to 4. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. What is your motive of giving? If you want to be noticed, then you have your reward. If you do it in private or secretly, only God knows. He will reward you. Which reward do you desire, of men or God? Next, we need to trust God. And I take this from the widow who gave two mites in Mark 12, 41 to 44. And Jesus said over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even of her living. God is taking notice of our giving. God watches. All people are to share something. She only gave two mites, and it was commendable. In this example, all gave something, and one gave all. Jesus said this poor widow gave more than all the others combined. God is more interested in your percent than in the amount. The widow's needs were met for the day. She had a piece of bread, she had something to eat, and she had two pennies left, and she gave what she had, for she trusted God for tomorrow. She knew God would be there tomorrow, as he always has been, and had never let her down. I have here a dollar bill, and oftentimes the way I keep my money, I just ever see the front of it, and I normally just look at the number. Have you ever read on the back, they all say, all currency says, in God we trust. So next time you spend money, might you remember that, to always trust God for your provision. God provides. Proverbs 28:27, whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. We need to hold all our possessions with an open hand, willing to share those in need. Next, we need to be inspired by God in our giving. We need to seek God's direction of what to give, how much, when, and where. Through prayer, or maybe even reading his word, we read in 1 Timothy 5 examples of or warnings of helping a young widow that he advises us against, in some cases, to helping young widows. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If you are a child of God, he dwells in you. His Holy Spirit dwells in you. He will lead you. He will prompt you. We need not quench the Spirit when he prompts us to give. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. This verse could actually mean that we're helping more than just the poor. It could mean, it says that we are to withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Some people deserve it, even when they don't need it. And another command is we are to give the best, or another motive. we are to give the best. And I have three examples here of people that gave their best. The first two are found in Hebrews 11. In verse 4, it says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." God takes note of our giving. He knows our motive in our heart. It says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. It doesn't specifically say what was wrong with Cain's, but it does say that Cain's was rejected. But he had respect unto Abel. We are to give our best. And that still speaks, Abel's offering still speaks to us today to give our best. Also in Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham gave his best and obeyed God's instructions." In 2 Corinthians 9, the last verse, we read of another one. Verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." God gave his best also. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Are we giving our best? I understand if we have clothes that we have too many clothes and we decide to give some away that still have a lot of wear, that's a good thing. Have you ever thought of going to the store buying a package of new clothes and dropping them in the drop box on your way home? Giving our best. How do we do on that? The last thing under motives and attitudes and motives of giving is a giving heart is not covetous. I pulled this from my last message that I preached about a covetous heart. In that message, I had 7 points of a covetous heart, and we're going to look at them again today. A giving heart is exactly opposite. A covetous heart is a disobedient heart. They hear and understand the word of God, but they don't obey it. But a giving heart obeys God's commands. Number 2, a covetous heart is a selfish heart. Life is all about me and what I can get from it. Whereas a giving heart puts the needs of others ahead of my own needs. I remember in Haiti when we served there, Cam would give a food parcel once a month to elderly or aid for the aged or support a widow. Those were the 2 programs. And I don't know which it was, but we went to interview some people, and this one lady, like, if she would get the box, she would share with others. She had more than enough for the day. In my mind, I was thinking it's only given once a month to help her. It didn't even last her a week. And she gave what she had, same as the widow that gave 2 mites. Number 3, a covetous heart is a greedy heart, grabbing more than I need without regard to others, whereas a giving heart holds everything with an open hand. Number 4, a covetous heart is a wanting heart, always wanting more, never satisfied, and things will never satisfy your God-shaped heart, whereas a giving heart finds fulfillment in sharing and feels good about it at the end of the day. A covetous heart, number 5, a covetous heart is an untamed heart, never learning contentment and still giving in to natural desires and tendencies. But a giving heart has learned the joy of giving. Number 6, a covetous heart is a hypocritical heart which God despises. But a giving heart is genuine faith demonstrated by good works. A giving heart lives in truth and integrity. His life matches what he professes. James 2:15-16, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, 'Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled,' notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? That's a hypocrite. Number 7, a covetous heart is an unfruitful heart, whereas a giving heart is naturally fruit-bearing, as we saw in Matthew 25. My last section here, looking at a few of the blessings of giving, Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share with what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. God is pleased when we give. God is watching. Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Have you ever thought of lending to the Lord? God rewards us when we share with the poor. And I'd like to look yet in 2 Corinthians 9 that we had read. I'd like to look at 5 verses here, verses 6 through 9, to gather a few blessings out of this. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Those who give generously, God will abundantly bless. I'd like for us to look at a progression in these verses. First, if we give cheerfully and generously out of our hearts, if we do it in the right attitude, God will bless abundantly. How much is abundance? How abundantly will God bless us? In two ways. You will have all things at all times that you will ever need, and he will give you a surplus, an abundance to share even more. You can never outgive God. He will continue to bless those with good hearts and attitudes and share generously. We find another blessing in 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 13 says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Our giving causes others to praise God. And I'm reminded of Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Giving is not for our own glory. Giving is for honor and glory and praise to God. Others will be pointed to the Savior by our giving. And another verse in 2 Corinthians, verse 14. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Here Paul says that the receiver will pray for the giver. Sounds like a win-win to me. And so by looking at God's word today, we can all realize that God intends for us to give and to share what we have. He invites everyone to give. It was God's idea. And at the end of the day, that feels good when we share. I'd like to leave with 2 verses in Proverbs yet. Proverbs 3:9-10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word that we've been reminded today of giving and sharing what we have and not hoarding, and to do it with proper attitude and motive. I pray that you would lead us, help for us to keep our eyes open, and thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us and leads us in that way of how to share and how much and when. I pray that you would just bless the remainder of this service. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your abundant provision. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.